again this week. My time spent preparing for a sermon was interrupted and changed by the news. I don't know if you guys listen to news or hear or read news anymore. It's depressing enough that some people, if you said, I don't do the news anymore, that would be a defensible thing to do, maybe, but here we are reading the news and watching the news and seeing the news. And the news this week is children in cages on our southern border, and the conditions in which those children live, where they're denied soap or blankets or toothbrushes or medicine or medical care in some cases. Hundreds, at least, of children separated from their parents, left by themselves to be sick or not, to be stuffed in a hot, sweaty cage, treated like animals. These are like actual kids, like the ages of my kids. My kids are 6 and 2, and that's what's happening to other people's children. All of this happening in our name as Americans. It is our government that is doing these things. Our government arguing in court that it is not inhumane, but perfectly normal and reasonable that children shouldn't have soap or toothbrushes or blankets or anything like that. That's fine. If I treated my kids like that, a different part of the government would take my kids away and say I was not fit to be a parent. And yet that's how we choose to treat these children, just because they were born in another place and because they came to this country by less than perfect means. I mean, many of them asylum seekers, which is legal, by the way, to seek asylum. It's totally legal to do that. But here we are. The one, you know, unless you think this is some, you know, brand new thing. I saw the story about how the government lawyer that was arguing that all of that is fine and that's a perfectly good way to treat children. She was arguing that in front of a judge who had literally been in a Japanese internment camp in World War II. Because his family was from Japan, they were taken and put in a similar camp. Although, I guess what I'm hearing now, with a slightly better condition, children not separated from their parents. But it seems like arguing that in front of somebody who was in, who was forced by the government to go into a camp like that because they suspected that they might be enemies of the state just because of where they were from or where their people were from. I can't imagine that argument went well for that particular lawyer. So anyway, that's the news. Oh, and then the other part of the news was there's been threats and then rescinded threats about sort of mass arrests and deportations of people whose legal status is not squared away in this country. And so that was going to happen this morning, and then it wasn't, and who knows? It happens every day around the country, but sometimes there are bigger efforts by the government to take away individuals and families. You know, some weeks ago it was a Lutheran pastor in the Chicago area. You may have remembered this story that she was deported back to Colombia, I believe, with her husband, because they arrested her daughter and then made her daughter go and get them and then let the daughter go because she'd done absolutely nothing wrong and she was totally legal for her to be driving down the street minding her business, but they arrested her to get leverage on her parents so that they could get into the house so that they could kick out her parents from the country because, you know, nobody's more dangerous than a Lutheran pastor. Anyway, so the news is awful. Is the bottom line, and I can't get it out of my head, and to the extent that I've interacted with the public this week, that's the thing that everybody's talking about, so here we are. Which brings us to our gospel lesson for today, or really any of our scriptures I could talk about. Let's do a little bit. Our big reading from Galatians, Dave, thank you for pointing out it is, it's kind of a big one. And read these again in light of the news, right? Maybe you heard them in that light the first time. I certainly did. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. Think about that in relation to the news. Or from our psalm. For the Lord does not despise nor abhor the poor in their poverty. Neither is the Lord's face hidden from them. But when they cry out, the Lord hears them. Read that in light of the news. Or from Our first lesson, I don't know if I have like a specific exact word. Oh, how about just the basic, like the whole point of this first lesson from Isaiah, where God is saying, I said, here I am to a nation that did not call on my name. I held up my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, following their own devices. And it goes on about a nation who believes that they are God's people, and yet they act completely opposite of what God wants. Because they think they've got the whole God thing in the bag, and now it's time to get there. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Yes. There we are. So, but let's get back to the gospel lesson, which is where we really want to go with this. Jesus goes to the faraway country of the Gerasenes. They sail across the lake, across the Sea of Galilee. And they get there and they meet this man who has been possessed by demons, and he's living in the tombs and he's naked and he's crazy and he can't be in normal society. And the demons speak to Jesus, and it's a weird story, as Dave also pointed out, which is accurate. It is a strange, odd story, and a lot of it doesn't make sense to us today. But I think the part that we can latch onto for this story is that Jesus does take the demons out of this man. Jesus does set this man free. And so when the public comes to see what Jesus has done, they find the man clothed and seated at Jesus' feet in his right mind. And I also point out that Jesus, he sent the demons into the pigs, and so the pigs ran off and were killed. So there's some property damage by Jesus. You know how property damage is very, gets people really upset, even today. You mess with somebody's property and they get mad. But you set a person free from a lifetime of torment and demons. And what is the people's response in the story? What actually happened? What did the people do? What did they say? Well, how does it describe their response to this? Were they overjoyed that this man had been set free? No. They were terrified. They wanted him out of there. They thought, this isn't normal. This isn't right. We know who this guy is. We don't want to have to accept him back into our society. We've written him off. He's not one of us anymore, even if he ever was. They're terrified, and they ask Jesus to leave, because he might set more people free. He might continue to change who is in and who is out. And that's not acceptable. Jesus isn't even from here. We don't want him here. We don't want him here changing things over here. He can go back across the lake. He can go back to Galilee and change things over there if he wants to change things. We're perfectly happy here. We know who lives in the tombs. We know who's acceptable in society. We don't need this Jesus guy coming and disrupting that. I read the most simple and obvious quotation on Facebook from a colleague, Carmine Pernini, is a pastor in, I don't know, somewhere east of here, I think. It's been a long time since I saw this guy. But he did that, talking about some of the news, and there was one simple little line that really just jumped out to me. He said, evil is normal. Evil is normal. I was like, oh, well, yeah, I guess it is. I don't think of that every day. Because evil doesn't appear to be my normal every day, right? I have a house, I get a family, I get a nice job, I can look at what I want on the internet, I have a car. My life, it doesn't seem that I'm surrounded by evil. Evil doesn't feel normal to me. And so I assume it must not be normal for other people. But when you read the news, or when you read the scriptures, you see that evil is normal. Now, nothing about Jesus was normal. Everywhere Jesus went, he did something that was unusual, that was abnormal, that was frightening to the people who knew what to expect. Because Jesus broke all their expectations all the time. Because, those people, evil was normal. This evil of this demon that had tormented and tortured this man for years. So he couldn't live as a human being. He couldn't have the dignity of being a normal person and living in a house and being free. That was normal. And that's what the people wanted to maintain, because it was easier for them. Because if they recognized, well, that was that was never okay, then they have to live with the fact that they've let this happen. And so here are we today doing the same thing, seeing the evil that happens in the world. And the evil happens in the world every day, all over the place. And we look away, right? We live as if, well, that must not be the case. And sometimes, if it gets bad, we start to rationalize, well, if something bad happened to them, they must deserve it, right? If something bad is going on over there. I don't know how many times I've seen people in the news this week on, you know, Facebook or saying, well, if they hadn't done something illegal, this would never have happened to them. I would never take my kids away. I would never. Just shut your mouth. Stop that garbage. There's no justification for keeping kids in cages. Even if you want to blame their parents. Remember when they asked Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus said, neither. Shut up. That's stupid. That's not how it works. So even if you want to blame these kids' parents, who, by the way, were mostly seeking asylum, which is perfectly legal, that's not an argument. It's a rationalization. It's a rationalization of one's own inaction. It's a rationalization of one's own biases and bigotry and fear of the other. It's a rationalization of the evil that has become so normal that we value normal above the good news of Jesus Christ, who lived and died so that we could be set free. It turns out Jesus lived and died and rose again so that we can be set free from normal. That's what it is. The normal that Jesus lived with, where Jesus himself was arrested and tortured as a threat to the state, as a threat to the rule of law. Jesus died to set us free from normal. To set us free from the way things have been. To set us free from the way things appear that they ought to be. Because that's what we're used to. Our first lesson from Isaiah is about idolatry, ultimately. It's about worshiping things that are not God. It is so easy to worship our laws instead of worshiping God. If our laws say these kids should be in cages and that's fine, then our laws are unjust and immoral and need to be thrown out. That is just blatantly obvious to anybody who's ever even heard of Jesus, ever even heard of the way that God loves those in need, the way that God reaches out and cares for those who cry out for God's love. God is not going to rescue those kids from those cages. That's not how God works nowadays. But I've heard that God has people in this country. I've heard that there are people who follow Jesus in this nation. I've heard that there are people who are the body of Christ, the church, in the United States of America. And Jesus, as we know, if the work of Jesus on earth was to set people free, just like he set free this man who had been possessed by these demons, who had been cast out of society, then maybe the body of Christ in our nation today can do that work of Jesus, can find a way to do that work, to disrupt normal, to set God's children free. I don't have a specific plan for how to do this, but I know there's people working on it, and I'm going to listen to them, and I'm going to follow them, and we're going to do something, because we can't do nothing. Normal is not acceptable. Normal is evil at this point. Maybe not always. I don't know. Sometimes normal is probably fine, but not today, and we can't live as if it is. In order to follow Jesus, to recognize what God has done for us in Jesus. That God has set us free from the power of sin and death. That God has set us free to love God and love one another. So that we don't have to worry about ourselves and our eternal salvation. It's not just about me anymore. that I can open my eyes and look around and see the world and see the other people that God loves and stand with them and for them. Let's find a way to follow Jesus together, to turn aside from the evil that has become normal, to bring about the reign not of human law, but the reign of God. Amen.